You know him from the Smiley Morning Show.
Now he's got his own show. Radio Theology is on ZPL.
If you think I'm going to take care of my own backside, you're in for a big surprise.
Wrapped up in a bag and bound and over the head of the
mirror. I'm like, I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight. I don't know what flight I'm supposed to be on. I just need an adult.
So you couldn't get to your travel destination and sit on the beach in tan all week.
Really hard not to pee here, guys.
Oh. You just picked up a poop nugget.
in the pool with your foot.
You guys gotta taste these Jimmy Chums.
You can see me. Speak to me.
Yeah, that when a mommy loves a daddy, they hug in a special way.
Sure, if you want me to. I'm here for 2 years, by the way.
Oh. Is someone sauteing onions?
Here's Pub Pastor Darren.
Good morning, friends. It's time for another episode of Radio Theology.
Woo-hoo!
Live and in your life right here on 99.5 ZPL. And, man, I got a feeling about today's show, guys.
Yes.
I got this feeling.
Is it a good feeling?
This show.
Come on.
Yeah.
Go, Ryan, go.
What you got, Darren?
I'm just saying, just keep going.
No, you're doing so good.
Okay. All right.
My bad.
If you're just looking for a definition of disappointment, it just happened right there.
Aww.
All right. It's fine. We're going to push through. No, it's going to be a great show. We've got some great guests. We're going to have a lot of fun. I say that every week.
Yes.
I listen back to our shows, and I realize that often in the open, I say, we're going to have a lot of fun.
You promise it.
But
have we got a deal
for you?
I do say that as well. But in my defense, it's been over a year we've been on the radio, and I've listened to all of our shows. In fact, I've been a part of every single one of them.
Yeah.
And guess what happens at the end of the show?
What's that?
We've had fun.
Yep. Yeah. At least you don't say land the plane anymore at the end.
Oh, well, yeah.
I did say
you
that.
Could bring that back.
Hey, you know what? It's coming back today.
Yeah.
You're going to learn today, Katie.
You're going to learn today.
Anyway, we're going to give you 3 hours of faith, hope, love, and your favorite music here on 99.5 ZPL. Thanks for tuning in. It's Radio Theology. Welcome back to Radio Theology. Right before we left you, Lisa was about to throw a chair through the window.
Wow.
She's opinionated.
Recounting a story as a server when well-meaning, God-fearing pastor.
Yep.
Tightwad.
Decided.
Read.
What
tightwad.
She really needed was not a 10 to 20% tip for working her tail off to serve them at the restaurant.
Right.
But was a religious tract, which.
What's a tract?
Okay.
Tract, by the way. I just want to say it's
is it tract.
It is?
Tract with a T at the end.
Why?
What is it?
It's a tract, not a track. Sorry, I'm a grammar nerd.
I've always said it was tract.
I know, and you also say acrossed, and that word should just be across.
And Chipotle.
So maybe I don't have a handle on the English
Chipotle?
Language.
What did Jesus die on?
A cross.
Okay, if you have to go from this point to that point, what do? You travel.
Across.
You sure about that?
Do I usually put a T on?
So you always do.
It's
always cringe inside a little bit, but I love you.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a tract.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is. You're right. Tract. It's a tract. What? I just Googled it.
Well, it's an asterisk.
Hey, Captain Grammar, will you tell us what a tract is?
A tract would be kind of like a little pamphlet that, I almost said super annoying people will hand out on Halloween to try to get you to change your opinion about
Jesus. Is a pamphlet containing a declaration or appeal.
Yeah, so it doesn't have to be on Halloween by Christian.
It doesn't have to be religious, but it'd
be like Thomas Paine's Common Sense in the 1770s.
Handing out literature.
So our point was that we were talking about our favorite Halloween candy.
Yes,
Halloween's just around the corner.
Yep.
And
Twix for life.
Yes, and
left or
what
right.
I was saying is that I've had different neighbors in different neighborhoods where I'm hoping to get a Sour Patch Kid.
Mm-hmm.
By me, I mean I'm hoping that my boys will get enough candy
so you can sneak it when
they
go to bed.
In our house, my wife doesn't really the Halloween candy. They like kind of get it and then she hides it and then eventually she just throws it all away.
Yeah.
She's like, no candy.
I do that too.
Julia Early Wine Bowl does not screw around with
like
the candy.
Wow,
that is a tyrant move. Right
so
there.
But I will steal as many of their Sour Patch Kids as I can.
Yeah.
But what I remember 1 year going past a family and I kind of knew who they sort of were, and they weren't giving out candy. They were giving out Christian tracts.
Okay.
Which basically give you the idea of here's, you know, you need Jesus and here's why. And it might even have been in a creative way. And maybe if you're listening today and you have seen massive, great results from handing out tracts.
Even just one changed
life. Yes.
It doesn't have to be a million.
Wow. Yeah.
Like Billy Graham style.
Thank you for this book when I came here for candy.
Just one changed life via a tract on Halloween.
Yes, on Halloween.
Or any, let's give them a lot of grace
because
they might
year.
Need it. Any time you've ever given out a tract.
Yes. Love to hear it.
Want to hear about it.
Yeah. Hit us up on Facebook. Give us a story. We'd love to just go to the Radio Theology or just search Radio Theology on Facebook or radiotheology.com. We'd love to hear the story. Because, I mean, Lisa, when you were serving, because, I mean, as a kid, Like I'm, like I said last, just a minute before the break, is I feel like when that happens, what you just made a declaration to all the kids that might, you might have had a chance to build a relationship and help, right, and maybe help this kid find a way, you know, connection to God,
yeah,
is you've become somewhat like the weird killjoy person who didn't give me Sour Patch Kids, mm-hmm, but something to read. Now,
yeah,
I know that the scripture says God's word won't return void, and you're giving out the okay truth of God, but the interesting thing about Jesus is he didn't actually do that.
Right. He never did.
I don't think there were pamphlets like that.
He was the truth and came and spent time with people. Mm-hmm. And then he said some of the things that are contained in a tract.
Right.
But
this is Radio Theology with Pub Pastor Darren on 99.5 ZPL.
So there was a lot it's like more a mixtape
relationship that happened there as well.
Yeah.
Right.
So as you,
exactly,
when you were, take us back to the day when you're the server,
okay,
busting your tail trying to make ends meet, and yeah, this pastor drops the tract,
right,
on you.
Yes, I'm a newlywed, ooh, working at Fridays at Keystone of the Crossing.
TGI.
TJ Fridays.
TGI Fridays.
It's Friday.
That's right. Mm. Exactly.
Baby, baby, back, baby, back, baby, back,
oh, baby.
Chili's.
That's
Chili's.
Oh,
Chili's.
Oh, dang it.
Chili's. Baby, back ribs. You remember so when NSYNC did that commercial?
No.
Yeah.
No.
And Joey Fatone was like, I want my baby. Or that was Lance Bass.
That was Lance.
Anyway, sorry. You're at TGI Fridays.
So I'm serving. Yeah. So, yeah. And so I can tell they're obviously having some sort of spiritual conversation. I, you know, I'm talking to them, but we don't hit on the subject of God or Jesus
but
or whatever.
But you might be thinking to yourself, hey, I'm a Christian, you're a Christian.
Right.
Maybe I'm going to get a great tip.
Right. And yeah, I thought, I'm, you know, obviously I'm pleasant to everyone, duh.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I'm like, hey, if it rolls around, I'm going to jump in there and be like, cool, so what are you in town for? Tell me more about that. What church? So it's a pastor, and he's treating this traveling evangelist that's going to speak at the church later. And instead of a tip, they give me a track. It was in one of the $1 million bills. And
oh,
I was like,
No.
No.
It was a fake $1 million bill.
Fake $1 million bill in How to Find Jesus. And I'm like, I already have Jesus, but guess what I don't have? I don't have money for dinner.
I don't have 20% of your bill.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I was so hot. Oh, I swear to you. I should have just called it. But again, it does no good to deal with people like this. I almost called the church and been like, excuse me, are you freaking nuts?
Well, dude, that's...
Which also would have done no good.
This is, then they're like, this is also premeditated buffoonery, where he's just like, I found these at a novelty store. I'm going to take these with me at every restaurant and just leave this. No,
see,
dude.
I see it as arrogance.
Come on,
almost,
man.
Like, wait, talk about that, Katie.
So, like, he's working to serve you? Like,
I'm super opinionated about,
bro,
you know, tipping and being generous to others. And I'm not a very religious person myself,
okay,
you know, which kind of stands out here a little bit. But... I think any...
I've got a tract for you for that.
Yeah, yeah, if you want. If you want,
I know we can help you.
What I really need is $1 million.
Do you know where you would go if you died right now?
With tipping for specifics, if you go out of your way to not tip somebody by leaving, you know, a book or a pamphlet or that fake $1 million bill, ugh, or you make it even look like you tipped, like the corner looks like money and otherwise, I think you're just a snob.
Yeah.
Like, you just didn't want to tip.
Right.
And if you were, like, a really good person or whatever, I would think you would tip and maybe leave it with it.
Right.
You know, like, if you're really trying to spread the message or something like that.
Yep.
But on the whole concept of, like, a book or a thing like that, that honestly kind of turns me away from the idea.
In a way, it's kind of like, it's like bartering went out a long time ago.
Well, it's like propaganda.
You know, I didn't give you your food for
if I wanted this message and I wanted to hear what you'd have to say, I would rather you talk to me about
through
it.
Through a relationship, which is what I think you're talking about, Darren. Where,
exactly.
And I think what we're getting at is there's a difference in philosophy of evangelism, of the tactics used.
I know, so I would be weary. So as another caution, we're not advising people to say, come in, little children.
Yeah,
I have huge candy bars in my living room.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Let's not do that either.
Well,
I don't
if you
think
have a flannel graph in there,
kids,
that would be good.
Oh, a little flannel thing from Sunday school with little characters that would.
Why would
they
even hand out pamphlets to kids? The kids are not going to drive themselves to your church. They're not going to change their parents' mindset on a church.
Mm. Actually, I think tracts are the old memes. So memes are the new tracts, is what I mean to say.
It could be
and
a generational
thing. And I hate the ones they make them look like overdue bills or they make them look serious.
Well, the
or
one I think you're
like
talking
that
about, Lisa, that you saw that was given to you, the fake $1 million bill, is I think I've seen that one before. And I think on the back of it, it says something like, aren't you a little disappointed or something about it that this wasn't a real bill? And wouldn't you be really disappointed if you, you know, didn't believe in Jesus and went to hell?
Right.
Which is just,
well, I guess I would have.
Yeah,
yes,
I would. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, and where did you go so I could talk to you more about this? Oh, wait, you're out the door and out my life forever.
No, I'm disappointed because you went out of your way to make me angry about this. You know, like, if you're going to, you know, preach the message or whatever, fine and dandy. I don't think a pamphlet's the way to do it. Yeah. And I think it honestly kind of comes across as snobby.
And here's the deal, too. Like, if you're doing that throughout the year where maybe you're trying to establish relationships with your neighbors.
Like, hey, if you're interested, here's a pamphlet.
Might give you, a pass on that. But if the only night you do it is on Halloween because you think, I mean, that's like kind of building a web and you're a spider. Like, I think I'll catch them now.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
Don't be a spider, people.
Something. I'm feeling a little snarky.
It just turns me away from the entire church that's cool with that. Like the fake $1 million bill. If everybody at your church is like you and handing those out, I would not be a fan. Mm.
But again, if your life has literally been changed because someone handed you one, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah,
we want to hear it. We're not going to judge it. We want to hear it.
Yeah.
We did basically just judge it for about 8 minutes.
We've got to judge the hander of it.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'd love to hear the breakthrough story of it because I've yet to hear one. If we had more time, I'd love to tell a story about the guy that almost hit me with the Bible in Nashville one time.
What? Hit you with it?
Well, it flew out from behind a corner and almost clotheslined me. It was pretty epic. Maybe I'll share it after
the break. We got to hear that.
This is Radio Theology on 99.5 ZPL. Radio Theology on 99.5 ZPL. Brought to you by Olivet Nazarene University. Oh, my gosh. We're
just for reference, I'm going to name this part of the show Bible Attack.
Well, we got a little fired up this morning, guys.
I mean,
I think it was me. I'm sorry to escalate,
you guys.
This was supposed to be a sweet bit, you know, about candy.
Right.
Chocolate.
And now anger.
Now we're mad at Christians handing out tract.
Oh. That's right. Listen, I'm here for the candy, not for a lesson.
Anyway, I was telling you guys about a situation I had a couple years ago. Well, by a couple, I mean like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I just thought about how long ago that was. And I was in college, and we were in our band. And we traveled around the country playing rock and roll, but trying to, you know, tell people about Jesus.
Yeah.
So we're in Nashville playing at a bar down there. And we've got, an hour or two before our show starts. So we're just kind of checking out Nashville. I'm walking down Broadway there where all the bars are and talking to all my bandmates, right? And out from a doorway... a huge, big leather, black King James Version Bible flies out from behind the corner.
Whoa.
And almost clotheslines me.
Whoa.
That could have taken you out.
It could have taken me out.
Whoa. That could have literally killed you had you hit your head in the wrong spot.
Exactly. It could have clotheslined me, broke my nose, knocked me back in the back of the head. You'd have been like, hope you're ready to meet Jesus because you just did.
Yeah. There's your revelation.
How ready are you?
So this guy, Bible shoots out and I'm like, whoa. And he's like, what was his opening line? Something about,
he did it on purpose.
Yes.
He almost killed you on purpose.
He didn't throw it. He just shoved his hand out into the sidewalk from behind the corner.
He attacked you and scared you.
I'm saying when the Bible flew towards my face, I'm saying it could have been a foot or two of space.
Mm-hmm.
But the move was to completely stop my progress on the street. And being stopped by the King James Version.
Flip a switch, and I'd be like, all right, I'm done with this conversation. Gosh.
That's the only version of the Bible that got approved.
Well, just wait, Ryan. We're going to get there.
Yeah.
So he says something about maybe, do you guys know the Lord Jesus Christ or something? And I'm being positive pants me, I'm like, hey, man, yeah, dude, we're actually all,
fellow Christian. Hello, brother.
I was like, hey, we love Jesus, man. I'm like, we're just down here. We're a band. We're down here at what was the bar called? Wolfie's or something. We're doing a showcase tonight for some record companies. Man, we're really excited about it. And he was like, where are you playing? I was like, well, we're down here at this bar down here. It was like, we're going to do a set. And, I'm still trying to be positive. And he's like, and this goes into it, rock and roll. He's like, that's the devil's music. And he was like, here's where his quote.
You're like, is this 1829?
Wait a second.
Burn the witch.
This is where I knew we were in trouble or in some kind of uncharted territory. He was like, rock and roll, that's the devil's music. He said, Elvis Presley, that skunk. He's like,
you called him a skunk?
He was like,
how dare you, sir?
He brought over those those rhythms and drum beats from Africa.
He shook his hips. How dare you?
And I'm like, at this point, I'm like,
pump the brakes.
What Twilight Zone am I in?
You're punking me. Dude, yeah, you're punking
I'm like,
me.
Where is the candid camera? You about clothesline me with your Bible. You've now called Elvis a skunk, and the problem is,
how else
is
can you offend
that
me?
He brought drum beats from Africa to pollute children and the youth of America. I'm like,
whoa. Ooh, a little bit of racism in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, let's just toss a little gospel in and then just a seasoning of racism.
Yeah.
So now I'm mad.
Some mild seasoning.
Right, because now I realize, oh, you're the kind of morons that I really dislike.
Mm-hmm.
And you're out here doing a lot more damage than good.
Yeah.
And so then we start getting into a debate. And, of course, the only Bible to read is the KJV.
Oh, why yeah. that one?
1611.
Yeah.
Purified seven times.
That's right.
What?
That's the one that God likes.
He shared some kind of
aren't
random scripture from somewhere about how it was seven times translated something, and there's a scripture somewhere that talks about purified seven times and that this was the pure, purified word of God. And
wow.
if you didn't read this, and it was unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
wow.
I was just like, hey,
sounds
bro,
fun.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah.
Right.
We're going to have to bounce out.
Yeah.
But
I got to go warm up.
Yeah, I got to go warm up. I'm a drummer. I'm going to go play some of Elvis's terrible yeah. beats that are polluting children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Personally offended by that beats comment. Bye.
I was on campus once at IU, God's Country, down there in Bloomington.
God's
I was Country.
Hoosiers. I was a sophomore heading to class, and I had to go through this sea of people who decided, hey, we have nothing better on a Tuesday than to hold sticks with signs on them, literal flames, flames depicting the flames of hell.
Yes.
And one was holding a Bible, and I was like, huh, okay, well, I got to go to class. I don't really have time to talk.
Yeah.
And they were like, got Jesus? That was it. It was like the Got Milk ad campaign. Uh-huh. Got Jesus? I was like,
did it work?
Yeah, I'm a Christian. And this girl, I will never forget it, under her breath, she just goes, yeah, right. Just snorted.
Oh.
Snorted at me on my way to sociology. And I turned around, I said,
you said and, that to her face?
I said that to her face.
I had an encounter with that kind of stuff. Yeah.
That's a little key and feel for you if you don't know what we're talking about.
Comedy Central. Guys, we've derailed.
I said, things that happen on this show.
I stopped and talked with her because it was like, yeah.
This is
the
official of the show that we lost most all of our traditional Christian audience.
We made it a year in 2 weeks.
And this is it. It started with us.
This is the end.
We affiliated with liking Halloween candy, not liking Trax Tuss, and then dropped in a Key and Peele reference. We're real people. We do real things. We really love Jesus. Back to your story.
Anyway,
sociology.
No, I just stopped and talked with her, and I just, you
good
know,
for you for stopping.
Well, yeah. I was just like, I just... Something rubbed me the wrong way, and I was like, listen, if you're rubbing me the wrong way, and I've followed Jesus since I was a kid and even grown in my faith beyond that, like, how is this going to come across to people who don't know? Like, your tactic is just, I'm sorry, but it just
way off.
Garbage.
You missed
it. Just
the mark.
Is. It's just
yeah.
garbage. It's like, come on, people.
What it really highlights,
there's no relationship there.
What it really highlights, and this is something I'd love to talk to people about, is that in life, oftentimes, the thing about Jesus that I love is it says in the scriptures, it says that Jesus came to earth and it came full of grace and truth. And grace is basically personified through relationship. Mm. Like if you're going to extend grace to someone, you're really extending presence and connection to them, right?
Okay.
A lot of times we think grace is, and it is defined as the unmerited, unearned favor of God. But God shows that in its essence by being present with us through Jesus, right?
Okay.
Truth is truth. We know what truth is, right?
Yep.
And oftentimes in life, we think that grace and truth live on a continuum. So you have to choose. Either I'm going to be really truthful, and that's what people would hand out tracts or try to hit people with the Bible or the people picketing on or
yep.
whatever on your
yep.
campus, right? We got to give people the truth.
Yep.
They black say
and
that
white.
A lot.
They do.
Yeah.
Right? Thinking that they have to choose. It's mutually exclusive at some point. Either mm. I have to have the truth or I'm going to be really gracious, mm. which
like,
means.
Can't you be both?
Well. That's the point is what we see in Jesus, which I love his example and because he's perfect, is there's a lot of times that Jesus said some really difficult things to people. He mm-hmm. had to speak truth to people. But every time that happened, it wasn't void of grace. And it was always in the presence of relationship and being present with someone. And so I think that's what we observe. And I think what the kind of the tuning fork of your soul, Ryan, that mm-hmm. goes out of tune.
Yeah.
When you experience that. Or when I almost get hit in the face with a KJV mm-hmm. purified seven times. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chuck Norris.
Yes. Is that if you're experiencing complete, like full-blooded, you know, full-bore truth,
yep.
completely absence of the presence of grace, I think your soul goes, this is not the way it's created to be.
I think there are a lot of people out there who really, really, really like Jesus.
Yeah.
But the people who represent them or say that they do or should represent him are just doing a really, really poor job at that. And I think that may be an impediment for them to actually pursue Jesus further, because they're like, well, all these Christians around me are acting totally not like the Jesus that they are saying they worshiping and emulating.
And I mean, that's one of the main reasons that I'm not very religious, is because almost every person I've come into contact with is aggressive about it or angry about it, or it just doesn't vibe with how I feel, or I just haven't found the right fit yet or anything like that. But a lot of the times, like the protesters I've come into contact with on when I was in school and all this kind of stuff, it just starts aggressive.
Mm. Yeah. Starts full truth, no grace.
Yeah.
Aaron, you're saying it's both and.
Well, I think when you look at, you know, here in a few months, we'll move through Halloween and we'll celebrate Christmas.
Woo!
Yeah. Which I love Christmas.
And let's not forget Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I love Thanksgiving as well.
Very important holiday.
Yep.
One of the things I think you have to look at in the Jesus story is that and I believe that Jesus was the Son of God and he was fully man and fully God. And when God shows up on earth, he did so as a baby. Mm-hmm. Like, how unaggressive of a start can you have? Like, babies are the most vulnerable expression or reality of a human being. Mm. There's nothing more vulnerable than a newborn baby.
Yeah.
So here is the God that everybody says is so mad and so vengeful and so wants to bring, you know, judgment on the world and all
wrath.
The things, wrath. And when he said, okay, here's the deal. I want to show up to let people know what grace and love looks like. Mm. He shows up and his introduction is, I'm going to show up as a baby.
Mm.
And if we can't model that, I think that's maybe one part where Jesus talks about, hey, if you really want to get into what I'm doing, you have to enter the kingdom as a little child. Mm. There's an innocence and there's
it's
a love. And there's, again, there's a trust and a grace there. And so, this whole thing started about Halloween's around the corner, and we were talking about people's you know, Halloween.
Well, it's called
candy.
Radio Theology. We go there sometimes.
You're supposed to.
And here's the deal: if there's one person, and you were just about to go to Kroger or wherever you get your Halloween candy, and you thought about also ordering a box full of tracts to hand out to children, if we've been able to change your mind, and here's my suggestion: if your heart is that you really, really are brokenhearted for the kids and the families of your neighborhood, good. That is an amazing place to be. Here would be my suggestion to you. Don't give them a document to read. Invite them to your table, your house at some point. Probably not that night because they're trick-or-treating. But stay long enough. Look them in the eye. Know their name. Hear their story. Go where they are. And actually spend time in building a relationship. And when you do that, you don't have to leave truth behind, but you bring it in the context of full grace and full truth. And if you do that, a couple things might happen. You might look a little bit like Jesus, and you might actually begin to change the course of human history.
Woo!
Anyway, dropping some truth.
Come on.
This is Radio Theology,
and
my
grace.
Friends.
And grace.
Give me some Sour Patch Kids.
Woo!
We'll be back right after this on 99.5 ZPL.
It's the Thought of the Day with Pastor Darren.
On today's show, we talked a little bit about some of the dumb, well, that might be a little aggressive, let's just say, in my opinion, unfortunate ways that Christians try to tell people about Jesus. We discussed the time when Lisa was a server, and instead of getting a well-deserved tip after a dinner, Lisa was given a tract that looked like a fake $1 million bill. You turn it over, and it said something about, are you disappointed this wasn't real? And then some stuff about Jesus. Not great. I talked about a time that I wanted my kids to get Sour Patch Kids as Halloween candy, and instead, at one house, they got a pamphlet about how to believe in Jesus. Now, it's not that wanting people to, you know about Jesus is a bad thing. Shoot, that's what our whole freaking show's about. But when a kid is expecting candy and they get an evangelistic tract, now that's a tough bait and switch. I also shared the story of the time in Nashville, Tennessee, when a guy snuck around a corner and almost knocked me over with his Bible. Evidently, he thought that nearly clotheslining someone with his Bible was a good icebreaker. In this case, his icebreaker was actually better than his main content, because he went on to let me know that I was probably, well, actually, for sure going to hell for playing rock and roll in a bar and following Elvis's example. All of these stories are of at least good-intentioned people choosing, in my opinion, very poor means to communicate truth. So much of our communication actually ends up missing its point when it doesn't possess both grace and truth. Once again, this is another area of life that Jesus seemed to get just right. When Jesus showed up on earth, the Bible says that he came full of grace and truth. So often in life, I think we see grace and truth as an either-or equation. It's like this: if I like you and maybe I feel sorry for you, well, then I'll give you grace. But if I don't like you or don't feel like you deserve it, well, you're going to get hit with the truth. Well, when we make calibrating grace and truth an either-or equation, we rarely make the most loving decisions. In those situations, the truth someone needs to hear is often muted because it's not brought in a gracious, loving, and relational way. Or the truth someone really needs to hear is never spoken because we're too scared to actually say it. But what if we could learn to speak the truth in love? What if we could actually learn to communicate like Jesus? Somehow he was able to say some really truthful things to people in a very gracious way. Maybe it's because for Jesus, the person always came before the point. Whenever he had to speak a difficult truth to someone, the someone was just as important as the truth. Too often, I think Christians think that the truth always trumps everything. When that's our perspective, we're not moving full of grace and truth. And when we're not moving full of grace and truth, we're not living like Jesus. But maybe you're thinking, but Darren, I really want people to know about Jesus. Well, so do I, friend. So do I. But maybe the next time, before you hand them a tract, you might think about inviting them to your table. The most pure definition of grace is actually personal presence. And if you want to earn the right to tell someone the truth about their soul, you might first consider spending the time to get to know their story. So in summary, if you're going to dinner tonight, leave your server a big fat tip, not a tract. And next week, you know, during Halloween, give the kids of your neighborhood a handful of candy, not a tract. And if you're really concerned about your neighbor's soul, invite them to dinner at your table before you invite them to the Lord's table. And that, my friend, is your Radio Theology Thought of the Day.
This is Radio Theology with Pub Pastor Darren on 99.5 ZPL.
Today's story, bros, comes from the second chapter of the book of Mark, which you can find kind of near the back of the Broly Bible. It picks up right after Jesus got baptized, gathered some bros, and healed a bunch of sick and demon-possessed people everywhere he went. One day, Jesus and his crew rolled into a town called Capernaum, and he started preaching about the kingdom of God to the people there. Now, bros, Jesus wasn't like one of those angry Bible thumpers you might have seen on the corner with a megaphone, telling everyone passing by that they're going to hell. He was pretty chill most of the time. Kind of like a first century Jewish Matthew McConaughey, minus the southern drawl and southern deep late night soliloquies in a luxury Lincoln SUV. Everyone knows Jesus would have driven his older sister's 87 Ford Tempo when she went off to college, but I digress. Anyway, he's preaching in this home, right, and the place is packed. You couldn't have gotten in there even if you had Beyonce and Lady Gaga on your arm. That's how popular Jesus was. People loved the J-Man. Anyway, these four dudes roll up, carrying their bro on a mat. He's paralyzed, and they're hoping they can get him healed by Jesus. They realize they can't get their bro to Jesus through the crowd, so get this, bros. They carry him up on top of the home and start digging through the roof so they can lower him down right in front of Jesus. Pause. Can you imagine what that would have been like, bros? I mean, talk about socially awkward. One minute you're there just minding your business, listening to the J-Man, and the next you're covered in mud because some random dude on a yoga mat plops down in front of you through the ceiling. Play. When Jesus saw the faith of the four bros on the roof, he turned to their bro on the mat and said, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Now this really ticked off a lot of the super religious dudes in the crowd because they thought Jesus was committing blasphemy, or basically putting himself on the same level as God. Jesus immediately knew what they were thinking, though, and called them out. "Why are you thinking these things?" he asked. "Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man," that's what Jesus called himself, "has authority on earth to forgive sins." So Jesus looked at the bro on the mat and said to him, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." Bros, this dude stood up for the first time in who knows how long, maybe his entire life, rolled up his mat, and walked out of the house. The crowd started freaking out and praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." Hey, bros, who do you love so much that you'd be willing to look like a complete fool for them, just like those four bros on the roof? If there's a crowd, maybe, that's blocking your way to God, what are you going to do to get to him? What would you risk to get a bro face to face with Jesus? We want to know. Hit us up on Brocial Media this week at Radio Theology and let us know. Until then, we hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Bible Bros.